Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
The cleaner in front, fast and free. He'll have a job to get past him. The cleaner knows how to fight, and he fights on and he wins. The cleaner first by a length.
Now, on Tense Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Co-development manager of Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, Simon Stout, joins us today on Tas Racing Talk. How are you, Simon?
Terrific. Thank you, Shane.
Well, this Winter Carnival series continues at Devonport. We've had a couple of great weeks. We've got another one lined up this weekend.
We do. Yeah, we do. We had, wonderful... We've run the two preludes now, and last week we saw the distance prelude go to big time from the Adam Trinder stable. Certainly a horse, you know, he's a stakes winner, having won the Dulcify in Sydney as a three-year-old, and he's certainly returned to decent form for Adam down here and gave Adam and young Jake Bayliss a double on the day. We also saw the return of three of our quality three-year-olds in Valdez, GG's Double J and Lustica.
Did we pick up anything off the Stride Master or video replay from last week's meeting?
Yeah, we've come up with four, Shane, and we'll kick off in the first with Me Consul. We've mentioned over previous weeks just the strength of what we think the three-year-old form will be going into taking on the older horses. And this stood out yet again, where first starter Me Consul made a big impression coming from way back in the field over the Flying 900. But he reeled off some exceptional sectionals to win. And in actual fact, when compared to Lustica's win later on in the day, although an overall slower time, he managed to run quicker sectionals than her for his last 800 and last 400, where he ran 44.48 and 22.59 respectively. So he's obviously a horse that's going to be open to natural improvement just in terms of his race manners, but also, he's obviously got plenty of ability to go with it.
Yeah, very impressive debut,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. To see him come from where he did, a lot of young horses sort of lose their way when they end up tailed off out the back like that, but he managed to pick himself up and, gee, really found the line with some gusto. We move on to race two, and, this saw Valdez, who was coming off a last start run in the VRC sire, so he was facing a nice drop-in class back to a Colts and Geldings maiden here over the 1150 first up, and he managed to get the prize, albeit narrowly, from Flying Stevie. And Flying Stevie, he's definitely got his hoof on the till. This was the quicker of the two 1150 maidens, and he managed to run his last 846.26. So although he may have been costly for punters thus far, he's definitely worth sticking with because a win is not too far away for him. We move on to race six in the program, and as we highlighted last week, GG's Double J, he came off an exceptional trial in Hobart prior to heading to the races, and he backed that up with an outstanding performance out in front to win. But this race overall, I think there was a number of performances behind him which suggest that it's going to be an extremely strong form race. I think if you're weighing up form throughout the rest of the Devonport season, but certainly going forward from beyond that, if you see this horse's form come up and you've got a runner from behind it, the likes of, say, Tuesday Night Delight or Fashion Label or Gotta Have Faith, they all managed to reel off sectionals that broke 47 for their last 800 and 24 for their last 400. So this is going to be one hell of a strong form race going forward and one to keep in mind. And finally, the last race off the video, if you had Tennessee Drive one out in your quarter in the last, I'd have to say you're a little bit stiff because this horse was lucky to stay on his feet approaching the 600-metre mark where he clipped heels and dipped noticeably. He did a good job to pick himself up and still run second. He wasn't able to reel in Berno, but certainly a forgive run based on what we saw on the video.
Yeah, really hitting the line hard at the finish, that's for sure. Now, we've got nine races coming up this weekend. It's on Saturday, back to a Saturday program again, so plenty of chances to back a winner on the mainland as well as you head to Devonport. We've got the sprint final quality race coming up. It's going to be a beauty given the prelude that we've seen last week.
It will indeed, yes. Importantly to note too, Shane, this meeting is on Sky 2. All the pubs and clubs will have it on the Sky 2 screens, but if you're looking for it at home, that's what you'll need to be on. We're making way for the Breeders' Crown Finals on Sunday. But happy to be on Saturday in amongst the best racing in the nation. And certainly our $25,000 Topeda Sprint Final looks terrific. We've got Innocent Gamble, who was a dominant winner last time out, but throw into the mix Minute Repeater. Iggy McCool returns from a spell here. She's been trialled up and scratched recently from the 1,000-metre race and saved for this 11.50. You've got Loaded Owners, who came off a super win himself over the Flying 1,000 the other week on the same day. And there's plenty to talk about in this race. And certainly, you know, Innocent Gamble will be the one to gun down, but if there's any chink in his armour, there's plenty of quality here to expose him.
But you mentioned Ian McCool. It's not the only McCool returning to racing on Saturday.
No, we've got our premier jockey back from holidays, Brendan McCool. He's taken only a couple of rides at the higher end of the weights, including Osborne in race 5 at 59 kilos. As most racing followers would know, Brendan doesn't ride exceptionally light, and as he's returning from holidays, he's just easing himself back into things. But it'll be good to have both Brendan and Bullet Muku. Bullet's been back to Turkey for the last 2 weeks. He'll also, our reigning champion apprentice, will also be returning to the track.
Sorry, Simon, you're right.
No, we're just going to hook in, and we've had a quick look at the videos and the Stridemaster data, and we think we've come up with a handful here that might be able to set punters in the right vein.
That sounds pretty promising. Are we starting early in the day?
We are indeed. We're kicking off in race one with the filly that we highlighted last week from the Adam Trinder stables in Sweet Treat. Off the video, she struggled to tack on. She was only having her first start. She got a little bit lost. She covered a fair amount of ground in the run from the 600-metre mark. She still managed to break 37 for her last 600 and hit the line quite nicely. She gets the services of Jake Bayliss here, and down on the minimum weight, we think that she can make good natural improvement from that first run and be highly competitive here. We then go into race two, where we've found one from the Stuart Gandy stable, and Stuart's horses are racing extremely well at Devonport at the moment, as highlighted by DJ's Double J last week. But GG's Showboy, he finished second behind Don't We Love It at his last start. And Don't We Love It, as we mentioned last week, Shane, he did a terrific job leading throughout. But this guy, he settled back in the field and was the only horse to make serious, genuine ground from back in that race. He reeled off sub 48 last 800. He gets to a 1650 here, and we think if he can carry that form forward, he'll once again be in the money. We then move on to race four, the second division of the 1350 maiden, and we've highlighted Host Esprit here. Host Esprit ran second to Scouting Around last week, and managed to run sub-11s mid-race. Now, Bullet Muku gets back aboard, drawn barrier 6. We think that if he can control the tempo from out in front, this horse will be very, very hard to beat. The danger there will be Unparalleled, who we also highlighted last week, as running on quite strongly in his first run for the Adam Trinder Yard, and he steps from the 11.50 to the 13.50. But we think if Host Esprit can control the tempo, that he'll be too strong here. And then to race five, we found another one of Stuart Gandy's, and that's GG Soprano. His last 600 the other day was in an exceptional 35.70. We think that he stays at the 13.50. He's drawn barrier 3. He'll be certainly getting the gun run from that point, and we think he'll be in the money once again. Race six, Beer Belly's on the quick back up here for Adam Trinder over the 1880. But last week over the 1650, he actually managed to run quicker time than Big Time did in the distance prelude. It was his first go at the 1650 this time around, and Jake Bayliss did a terrific job rating him in front. Jake stays aboard even though he rises in weight. He gets some relief from Jake's 1.5 kilos. He gets barrier 3 here, and we think that if he can get out in front and reel off similar sectionals again, he won't be getting run down. And finally, to close out the event, we've got rather a very strong leg of the quaddy. And there's 3 recent horses that have all had a mention with our section here on RSN Carnival in recent weeks, Shane, and that they are Moonless, Dollar Dan and Super Vaughan Band. We've got Moonless on top of the other two, just based on his quality and the fact that he gets out to the 1650 for the first time. We think he'll relish that. But certainly, if you are looking to load up or you've got your multiples in the last, I would throw in Dollar Dan and Super Broadband as well.
Well, it promises to be a great meeting on Saturday. 9 races on the card on Sky 2. All the information is there on tasracing.com.au. Stridemaster, video replays and all the forms. So no excuses not to back a winner. What about the awards dinner coming up later in the month?
Yeah, we've got the Thoroughbred Awards dinner on the 29th of August at Rest Point Casino. And I've been reliably informed that tickets are selling quite fast. There's not a lot of room left available. And if you would like to attend that evening, which is sure to be a cracking evening, you can contact Lynn Holden at Taz Racing on 6212 9333.
Should have been moonlighting as a car salesman, Simon. Thanks for that time and effort again today.
Not a worries, matey, any time.
Taz Racing contributes to the production costs of Taz Racing Talk.
Time to find some winners now for the big weekend of racing coming up at the Peter Park at Devonport. The man charged with that responsibility is Peter Staples. How are you, Brett?
I'm pretty good, Shane. Looking forward to this. This is the edition 4 of our 5 meetings in August, and we've got the final, the sprint final, $25,000 to Peter sprint final on, and what a race it's going to be.
Yeah, some great runners going around in the final. What about the first leg of the quaddy race, number 6? It's over the 1,880-metre journey for the benchmark 62, Beer Belly. Very impressive last start.
Yeah, it was, and you'd probably think that that it, and if it starts, I had a talk to Adam Trinder today, and if it's the, you ate up well and everything else is fine, but he's got 59 with the claim. At the moment, he's definitely going around, but things can change between now and race start time. But if he does go around, he's going to be very hard to beat. And Jake Bayliss got off him last week and said this horse will get 2,000 and beyond. So he led, and that's his way to go. Jake's got a good understanding of the horse now, so I think he's going to be the one to beat. Russo's Destiny, he's destined for a jumps career, but geez, he was strong to the line, and he'll appreciate the 1880. And I think either one of those. If Beer Belly starts, then Russo's Destiny and Beer Belly will fight it out. Evil Intent got home really well last start behind Beer Belly and Russo's Destiny. Finished 4th, and GG's Opera finished 5th. So I think last week, the horses that ran around in that race and finished 1st, 2nd, 4th and 5th, I think they're the ones that'll fight it out, and they'll be the ones I'll be taking in the quaddy, 1, 3, 5 and 6. And if one comes out, then you might pop the stablemate Cooter Feeties in as a chance, number 2.
Race number 7 on the cards, the Class 1 handicap over the 1,150. It's Flash Owl at the top of the weights for Glenn Stevens.
I like It's Flash Owl. Does have a share of weight, drawn a wide gate. Shannon Brazil back to ride, and she had a lot of success when she was living over here and when riding for Glenn Stevens, and a lot of success with his horses, and reacquaints herself with a couple of those on Saturday. It's Flash Owl, literally one of the top chances. Wania, it's got a terrific first-up record. They put the money on and left it in the bag a couple of times first up, but once they got the dough, and it was it's certainly going to be a chance. Drawn the inside gate and Daniel Gannadin to ride, and that's a plus. So he's a chance, along with number 4, Holly Cat. He's had 3 runs. Been freshened up for this, and I think the freshen up were doing the world of good. Or a couple of weeks, 3 weeks to freshen up on it, and it's he'll be a chance. Drawn a better gate, and Chantel Wallace takes 2 kilos off. Puts it 1.5 above the minimum. Magnetic Queen, agreed it wrote it incorrectly last time. They went out there and tried to lead. Got to be ridden off the pace to get the best out of Magnetic Queen. And if that happens from Barrier 4 and Jake Bayliss can get a nice bit of cover and just expose her at the top of the straight, then I think she's probably the one to beat. Satin and Rose just missed last time in a head bobber, and Rumouron could not have been more impressive the way she hit the line late. And while I prefer her over a little bit more ground, the 11.50 is still suitable, although the wide gate means that Ismail Doga is going to have to go back and ride her for luck again. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 12, I'll probably take the lot.
Well, hopefully you've got enough in the pocket to be able to cover that one, Pete. And then we go into the third leg, an Innocent Gamble, a track specialist. Outstanding win last time out.
He was indeed, and he led from the front, and he was... Well, he was just awesome in the straight. His times were terrific. And, look, I think he's the one to beat with loaded owners. Now, we know he was first up from a lengthy spell. He won his first race in 4 years. But he's absolutely flying. He's drawn barrier two, so he's going to have to do no work, although Innocent Gamble's drawn four. So the two to likely to fight out favouritism have both drawn well. And I would just think that there's no claims in this race, so there's no claim for Ismail Toka. And Anthony Darmanin takes the ride on loaded owners. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Although Ismail Toka's got a great record on Innocent Gamble. I think he's had 6 wins on the horse. So the stable apprentice will certainly be able to match motors with Darmanin. Minute Repeater, I think, is the only one that can beat either the one and the nine. He flashed home and did his best work at the business end. And he'll be very much improved by that first up run. I've got a big opinion of this horse from Tegan Key Stable. So I would only be taking 3 in this, 1, 9 and 4.
Okay, we've trimmed it up a little, Leo. I'm tipping you might be going wide in the last leg.
Well, there's 6 genuine chances in the race. And they vary in the degree of winnability. And Dollar Dan, his last start win was so impressive that he just needs to reproduce that effort and he wins. And he's drawn 9, Channel Brazil will be able to get him across and just get a little bit of cover. But he gets exposed, he gets covered and when he's exposed for that run, he is absolutely dynamic. And if he gets into a winning position, turning for home, he'll win the race, no question. And I think he's got a decent future, this horse, and he'll probably even get over more ground. There's a few chances in the race. Sundisk and Spotluck, 1 and 2 respectively. They're certainly there. Spotluck's drawn to lead and get a bit of a lead because Hayley McCarthy will take 3 kilos off. She'll only carry 55.5. So this mare of Charlie Goggin and Llewellyn Mewburn is going to be a player. And Moonless, number 4, he's due to deliver on his best. O'Reilly's GG's done nothing wrong this prep. He won first up in Hobart. He was probably unlucky not to win at his next start. Ismail Taker takes 1.5 kilos off. Reggio, he's good. Jamie Bayliss. Now this is Jake Bayliss's father. Interesting that he's coming down to the state to ride this weekend. That'll be interesting to see dad and son going hammer and tongs in a race. And I wish him all the best, Jamie. And to a rougher extent, maybe Super Broadband. Don't We Love It's being tested with the guineas in mind, tested to the 1650. I think this might be a little bit too hot for Don't We Love It. If you're bold, I'll be taking 6-1 out. But if you want to be a bit safer, I'll be taking the 1, 2, 4 and 7 as well. But it's early days, when we get to assess the form, just after they've been released. And probably I'll go in and look at some speed maps and probably come up with my top 4 selections that'll appear on tasracing.com.au under Punter's Corner and the Thoroughbred tab. I make those available on Friday. So if you're looking to fine-tune it to 4 selections in each leg, then you can go to the website and have a look at those. But my first impressions on these legs of the quaddie I've just given you, and I do like the 6 in the last leg. I'm really tempted to take a few with him, 1 out in the last leg, Dollar Dan.
Okay, so how much are we going to have to spend this week to spare the quaddie? You got it last week, $3,000, wasn't it? $3,400?
$3,400 and a few bucks. And if you took my top four selections in each league you'd have got it. That was $256 to get that result. So,
okay, so you got a few dollars in front to play with this week.
Just a few, yeah. But I think we're probably going to have to spend a quid to make a dollar. Look, I haven't worked it out exactly, but you'd probably have to spend $108 or thereabouts if you decided to take number six, one out in the last leg. So that's $108 if you take six, one out with all my selections I've just given you in the first three legs.
Okay, well, good luck. I hope everyone's jotted those down and keeps them very close and has a slight investment there at the weekend on Saturday and see if you can't get in the money again after that big collect from last week. Thanks for your thoughts again today, Pete.
All right, mate. We can go through the numbers again if you like, which is 1, 3, 5 and 6 in the first leg, into 1, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 12 in the second leg, 1, 4 and 9 in the third leg, and number 6, 1 out in the last.
Okay, have we got a best bet to be able to get some money up before the quaddie comes along?
I think early in the day. I think Trinder will train the first two winners, Adam Trinder, that is. I like race 1, number 8, Sweet Treat. Only had the one start. This one bred by Armadale, raced by the Wishaws, and it's a very impressive first-up run. Got held up and then flashed home. I think it'll be improved by the outing, and we'll get a bit of odds about that. 1.5 kilo claim for Jake Bayliss. He's got 52.5. And in the next race, Trinder saddles up Light the Candles, and he was a good third last week. Just got beaten for second by, I think, Roussos. Yeah, the Roussos horse. That was called.
Roussos Destiny, wasn't it?
Yeah. Look, I think that was, we'll have really tightened this one up in the 1650. I think each way all day, race 2, number 5, Light the Candles.
Okay, so an early double, then into the quaddy. It should be a great day. 9 races on the card at the Peter Park. You'll be there on Sky 2, Pete, so look forward to watching the coverage.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.